As you all well know, that I began a series focusing on uncommon courage. Uncommon courage. You know, it's sad that I'd have to even pull up a topic such as uncommon courage, simply because Christians have been given by the hand of God the boldness and the courage to stand up. So therefore then, it looks like it's uncommon because you don't hear much of it anymore. You don't hear much of anybody saying it's time to stand up for the truth. But that's all it is, folks. Last Sunday I started the series on standing courageously for the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. Now either I stand for Jesus or I'm against Jesus. Jesus himself said, if you're walking the line, if you're in the middle, I'll spew you out of my mouth, because you either serve me and stand for what I teach you, or you serve the enemy of God, which is sin and evil. I want to give us a little review of part one of this message, because this message is very important to you and to me. John 7, verse 13 is the scripture that it began with. John 7, 13. No one had the courage to speak favorably about Jesus in public, for they were afraid of getting in trouble with the Jewish leaders. You've heard me time and time again stress, folks, there's power in the name of Jesus. Why would people not want you to use Jesus' name if there's no power? If there's not truth within his name, then why are all of these people so upset? I was reading an article this morning on the computer, and I don't know what state or what river Baptist church there that had been ever since the churches in that area had been there baptizing in the river. And now they have to get a permit from the government. And Brother Randy and I were talking about it, and I told him, I said, Randy, I've already figured out why that they've stopped people from baptizing in a river that the government says belongs to them. I happen to know personally the guy that and personality that created that river, and it doesn't look like any that I see in government. And they said you can no longer baptize in it without getting a permit. I used to love going down to the creek or to the Nolan River, wherever it went, Green River, out of Greene County, go down into baptizing. I was baptized in a river, but what I told Randy, I said, Randy, I have figured out why they no longer want us to baptize in the rivers without a permit. Of course, I've been in the criminal justice system all of these years and in and out of these courts and listening to all the defenses. I said, I can picture this now. A person that has been caught in a crime had just been swimming downstream from one of these Christians that were upstream getting baptized. And as their sins were washed away, those sins came down the river, settled on me, and that's why I committed the crime. To me, folks, that would not be unusual for that type of a defense. But God says it doesn't work that way. Evil starts from within, not from without. Now, I beg to differ with a lot of folk, and I know it angers them when I say this, but folks, the inside is what creates the outside. What I see on the outside has no authority over me. What I see on the outside cannot make me worship it, but who is on my inside? There's where evil comes from. Evil does not come from without. Evil comes from within, and we need to understand that. Remember, last Sunday I told you everybody has a world view. Now that world view that you have, you receive that world view by how you were raised, by your peers around you, what you've seen and what you've witnessed in life, and then you set in your mind and in your heart a world view. Well, this is how I view the world. But I want you to understand also that God also has a world view. And he gave us the book called the Bible, and he said, I want you to see my world view for you. This is a manual that I'm going to give you to where you will be on the same page as I am in your worldview. But we will read everything so often but the Bible to find out what God says, because we think there's hope for men. There is none. Unless it's the man Jesus, there is no hope. From a government, from you, even in your own family, from other people, there's no hope that way. You may love, but folks, you cannot love even in your own family. You cannot love your family as much as God loves us. The Lord said, I'm going to love you with an unwavering love. I'm going to protect you with the power that only I have. God says, Larry, you have a worldview. Those around you have a worldview. But what I want you to do is to think about the world from God's worldview, and we will come together on what truly, truly matters. Have you ever said that your kid is not like any kid you've ever seen? And have you ever threatened to pull every hair of their head out? And you would look at them and say, I don't know what makes that kid tick, until someone reminds you, hey, I'm at your son or your daughter. I could tell they was yours. They act just like you did when you was that age. Then you go home and say, you're such a sweet kid. Think of it. Here's what we learned last week. The four popular anti-Christian worldviews. They're very popular. The first is materialism. What matters most is money. The next was hedonism. Whatever feels good is good. That's of the world. The next is individualism. What I want comes first. What I want comes first. And then the worldview of socialism, saying that government should control everything. You and I see our own nation today right in the middle of a power play to bring the United States of America into socialism. I would never, ever tell anyone how to vote. Never. Because I know that the IRS and everybody else is listening. I never tell anyone how to vote. So here's what you need to look at. Read the platform that whoever it is has. Read the platform. Is that a part of your worldview? Is that what you believe in? And then vote from your heart. While you're doing that, though, I'm going to give you God's worldview on these areas for your life. Standing courageously for the truth. I want you to look at the damage that has been caused from materialism, hedonism, individualism, and the focus of socialism. Listen to it. Here's the damages. The crumbling of our culture. Do you see it? The crumbling of our culture. Crisis in our schools. Folks, we used to, when I went to school, yes, we would have what we called in those days fights. After I got to Vietnam, I realized I didn't know what a fight was. But we'd go out and we'd scrap with one another, a couple of bloody noses, and we'd wipe it off, go back, finish the day out, go home, and probably get a whipping because we got in a fight. Crisis in our schools. Controversies in our courts. Corruption in our businesses. Chaos in our government. It's not so chaotic, I don't guess, because one group of our government's on vacation, the others on a golf course. Can't be very chaotic there, can it? Carnality in our churches. Do you listen to that? Carnality in our churches. That means that the church that is set aside to glorify Jesus Christ has allowed the world to come in. We have allowed the carnal heart of man to walk through the doors of the church, and we will say, well, look, we love the big congregation, we love the big crowds, so let's bring them in. Folks, the church, the building, the church worships in a building that we call a church. The church are the people, you and me. God's the one that chooses. God's the one that leads them and convicts to become Christian. Yeah, but we need all of these other things because our kids flock to those things. If we had it in the church, okay, we have it in the church. Is it not just as carnal as it is out there? We have it that we're going to please our youth or please our children. Let me tell you what will please God. That we stand for the truth in the church. We love and we respect and we invite whosoever will. But whosoever comes does not have the right to go against God's teachings, his worldview about his church, which are you and me put together. Then we have confusion in our families and the conflicts in our personal lives. Any of those ring a bell to you? Think of it. That's what the anti-Christian worldviews teach us. That's where we are. That's the situation they will leave us in. All of these are caused by disobeying God and flawed worldviews. Now, you may have a worldview, but check it out. It could be flawed. You know what you think? We hate to admit that we're wrong. Well, I don't care. I know God said it, but he didn't mean it. Yes, he does. He means it all. And you and I must focus on the three unpopular truths. Do you ever think that you'd be in a generation where truth is unpopular? Very hard to find folk who tell the truth anymore, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So they had to come up with a term called perjury in court. You mean somebody would actually lie after solemnly swearing on the hand on a Bible? I don't think they do that much anymore. But hand on a Bible and actually lie after doing it? Yeah, I do. Here's the three unpopular truths, which is God's worldview. First of all, it is the sanctity of life. The sanctity of life. God has a purpose for every unborn child. God has a purpose for every unborn child. What if in my generation that the law was out there that people who aren't very smart or this or average person needs to make sure that they don't have any children and the state needs to step in and stop it? Your pastor would have never been born. And many of you would never have been born. It is God that has a purpose for every unborn child. Listen to Psalm 139, 13 through 16. You, Lord, made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Your workmanship is marvelous. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. In the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every planned day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God says, I know you. I knew you before you were even conceived. And as you were being conceived, I was there. I knew what that particular personality would be good and blessed at doing. And I have set the path for you. And our problem today is too many are not looking for the direction and the path that God has called them to. It is God's direction that matters. It is God's worldview that is always everlasting. Why would I want a worldview that's going to disintegrate as soon as I'm out of this world or the government has moved aside or whatever. How about God's worldview that is eternal? And he said, here's your book. I want you to follow the directions and you'll do just fine. And by the way, you're going to catch all sorts of hell in the process because all hell will come against you. But no one had the courage to speak favorably about Jesus in public. We see the same thing today. Don't you dare say Merry Christmas. Just forget about Jesus at the nativity scene. Try to find one nowadays at some of these stores. Try to find them. We're going to eliminate the picture in our heart of a Savior that saved us. And the church stands back and says, okay, they're smarter than I am. Well, they may be more intelligent than you, but they're not more intelligent than God. God told me I didn't have to know how to spell Jesus to accept him. I don't have to know how to spell Christian to be one. That's reality living. That is the truth. Number two of the unpopular truths in God's worldview. This is very unpopular. Sex. Sex is only for marriage. Oh, preacher, you are so outdated and so old-fashioned. You tell God that. He's the one who wrote the book, not the preachers. Sex is only for marriage. We don't like it. That's unpopular. There's no one that turned away from this church. No one. The only time that anything is ever said to a personality is if they're trying to bring foreign doctrine within the church. Your pastor speaks up then. But all are accepted. And all are welcomed. But it doesn't mean because all are accepted and all are welcome that I have a right to stand up and proclaim, thus saith the Lord, that everything is okay. No, it's not. No, it's not. Sex is only for marriage. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. No wonder it's never read that much. Think of it. Preacher, you get to meddling when you get to messing with my sin. Now, I'll give you names of others who have different sins than I have. Pick on them. Folks, I'm just quoting the scripture of God's worldview. Does that mean then you're lost? If sent? Nothing. No, it has nothing to do with that. Folks, what it has to do with is peace within your heart and peace with one another. Here's the third one. All three of these, remember, are unpopular truths that God has set out in a worldview. Number three is marriage. I'll tell you what the problem is as soon as I read the scripture here. Marriage. One man and one woman for life. I cannot find anywhere in scripture where men are to be marrying men, women are to be marrying women. But folks, let me tell you. I'll tell you this like I told a young couple many years ago. Seems like 100 years ago now. You know how people will come up to you and they'll come up and ask, they'll ask you a question in statement form. This is what I believe about what I'm getting ready to ask you, and I've come to let you know that. And it was, in those days, Chaplain Vance, is it okay for us to just shack up without marrying? And they expected me right then to jump on and say, absolutely not. That's not what I said. Here's what I said. I said, I don't know. I said, young man, are you a Christian? No, sir, I'm not. I said, young lady, are you a Christian? No, sir, I'm not. I said, sure, go ahead and check up. You're both going to hell anyway without Jesus Christ. That's the least of your worries. It made them think. And everybody around at that time think and thought I was a little hard and harsh. It was a fact. That's the least of your worries if you don't know Jesus. But what if I know Jesus and I'm doing this? Quit. Every time you come under conviction, quit. You know what I used to tell the teenagers when I would speak at schools all the time, and they said, we don't know what to do. And I said, here's the facts. You're out on a date, and you want everything to stop because you're over your head and all of this stuff and what's going on. And you really don't want to really step over that line. I'll tell you exactly all you need to do to stop it. Reach over, grab that young boy's hand or young girl's hand and say, let's pray about it. Guarantee you it's over right then. You don't have to worry about a thing. It is over. Doesn't even matter whether they're Christian or not. It's over, folks. So think of it, marriage. But here's what I wanted to bring your attention. Look at Matthew 19, 4 through 6, because here's where a lot of problems come in marriages. This is Jesus himself speaking. From the beginning, the Creator made male and female. This is the reason a man is to leave his father and mother. Did they get to move back in later? I didn't find it, but with the mercy, we let it happen. But the reason a man is to leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. That's meaning you don't necessarily think alike. All you got to do is talk to your wife or your husband. I guarantee you see very little just alike. And if there is, it's Jesus that will bind you together. You become one flesh. That actually focuses back to sex. They are no longer two but one. Therefore, here's the problem. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Many marriages didn't have a thing to do with God. I don't care if you get a preacher to do the marriage ceremony. If God is not in it, it will fall. It will falter. It will break. Amen. And it is in the name of our Lord to where that marriage is bonded together. What God has joined together, I say it every time I do a funeral service. Every time I do a wedding service. What God has joined together, let no one separate. Well, that also tells me, look at the other side. If God didn't join me together, there's a pretty good chance there's going to be a separation. How can we live with uncommon courage? Are you ready? Accept God's word as your authority. God's word is God's worldview. God's word is God's worldview. You want to know God's view of the world? Read the Bible. It is the only source that will never lie to you. Hebrews 6, verse 18. God has given us both his promise and his oath. Think that's pretty solid, don't you? These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. You know why? God said, I will not lie. So he himself set the perimeters. The only reason God can't lie is because he chose to set a perimeter to where he can't. It was God imposed. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can take new courage, for we can hold on to his promise with confidence. Don't ever put your confidence in a human being to be able to follow through. Put your confidence in that human being if that human being is following the guidelines written by God himself. It's called the Bible. Pastors should stand up and preach, thus saith the Lord, and give illustration for the wrong and the sin that we see. We must do that, especially in a perverse generation in which we find ourselves. Number two, spend personal time with Jesus. And every time I teach, I say, spend personal time with Jesus. Have a prayer on your heart continually. Acts 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, remember? Peter and John had gone in and they just healed the lame, the man who had never walked for 40 years. And they saw the courage of Peter and John and could see that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Last Sunday, I asked you, can anybody tell through your actions that you've ever been with Jesus or that you're with Jesus now? Acts 4:31. After they had prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke God's word without fear. They were filled with the Spirit of Christ. You see, though the world will come at you, though the powers to be will come at you, you know the power that is, the power that is truly real. And that power, my friends, will give you the courage and the holy boldness to stand strong and to stand firm without fear. Hebrews 10:35, do not lose your courage because it brings with it a great reward. Standing courageously for the truth, it's got to be the kickoff for us. Because standing courageously for the truth is not easy. You will have your heart broken many times. You will have people turn on you that you'd never dreamed would turn on you. But you will be rewarded by God. And when you count the blessings, he said, I'm rewarding you for doing the right thing. But Lord, I couldn't follow through. I know, Larry. I am your follow-through. Don't you see, folks? We give our heart to the Lord. He is the lion. He is the one that will cause us to growl for the truth, for a world that's forgotten God. They've forgotten love, peace, and harmony, because 2/3 of them have never seen it. And never will until Jesus Christ is in their heart. Therefore, I and all other Christians invite you. We're not exclusive, we are inclusive. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we truly do thank you that you are the one in charge. That you're the one, Father, who knows who we really are. Thank you for looking at our heart, and thank you for the mercy that you give us as you look. Touch each of us now, Father, that we might stand strong and true for your truth in all that we do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.